Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Pallen.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
Mr. Mayor, you have a call.
Thank you so much, next with Pastor Bowman. Everyone, please stand, please.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here today. We ask that you strengthen these civil servants as they do the work you've appointed them to do. Give them a mind of understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Help them to operate in unity so that this city can be all that you desire for her to be. And Father, as you've appointed them to do the work of ministry here for the city, we ask that you protect their homes, their hearts, their families, their friends. These things we ask in your name and we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Council, you have before you the City Council minutes for the meeting that commenced on April 25th, 2022. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilman Smallwood.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Heath.
Motion been made and second. Any corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Ms. James, as you said, we have no public comment, correct?
Mr. Mayor, could you adopt the agenda, please?
Members of council, you have before you, I get a motion to adopt the agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
We have no public speakers, Mr. Mayor.
And at this time, we have no public comments, so at this point, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take an executive privilege, and I'm going to just give an overview of of the retreat that we, that Mr. Mayor and Council went on.
Members of the public, the City Council last weekend, not Mother's Day weekend, weekend before last, went to a retreat. And we spent quality time, 11 hours of constructive instructions and deliberations among mayor and council and several staff members. I'm very proud to present the information that came from the staff as relates to the input that was given to from the city administrator's position, and a lot of the information, the foresight that was given by council as relates to the information in almost a wish list by every council member. What was surprisingly and pleasantly surprising that over 60% of the information that you're going to see, and this is a fraction of the information, I promise you I'm not going to be long, and you said I'll say that right. And so what's going to happen is we're going to give you a snapshot. Again, the information that we share was in a booklet almost that thick. And so we covered information that was just almost breathtaking to some degree. Let me thank our staff, our staff that put that data together. Which you, members of council, you were there, and they'll get to see. Would you guys just give a hand to the people that put this together, because again, what I'm going to share with you again, this is just a fraction of what we're going to talk about. One of the first things that I was very proud of, you'll see that we start with the city council in this case actually understand that, number one, what we agreed to, what you're going to see, it will not happen overnight. Let me repeat that. It will not happen overnight. What came, what the council came away from is understanding that if you don't plan to succeed, you plan to fail. So if the year 2022, this year, is going to be spent with internal controls, proper protocols, establishing proper ordinances, a whole nine yards. We're reviewing every protocol you can think of in our efforts to make sure that when we go into the budget season for 2023, we can literally go into our budget season with an understanding that the year 2023 will be a whole year of planning in so many different directions. You will understand why momentarily. As you see, one of the things I'm very proud is that the staff basically came up with three areas, in this case, the refresh, the rebrand, and renew. Refresh our city government, rebrand our image, and renew the confidence, both internally and externally, in our city that we can make things happen. What's happening, ladies and gentlemen, cities around us, as you know, we all live in this area, or if you come through this area, from Tyrone to Southfield to Union City, I sat through Mayor Williams' State of the City address about 2 weeks ago. And one of the things I became aware of as I sat through the different mayors and talked to the different mayors of Tyrone, everybody's growing. So we have to do our part to make sure that the neighboring cities don't outgrow us, and nobody wants to live in our city. So as a result of that, you'll see the three areas of that they've classified everything we're going to do, from renovating buildings to we've hired a professional consultant, communications director, where right now we're very proud of just the image of our city is already picking up from information on television that several of our residents have mentioned to us, the things, events they found out about. And so again, that's important. Your image is everything. And so we're very happy about some of the strategic plans that we're having to discuss as it relates to how we're going to get ahead. Go to the next slide. I won't go through all of these different areas, but these were a lot of the areas that the members of council, when we asked them for their wish list, more than 60% of their wish list fell in one of these categories. And so, again, we won't go through all those items. But again, later, I'm going to repeat it again. This will not be an overnight success. One of the things that if anybody that understands, you have to plan. And this, again, the staff is actually going to take all this information, and they're actually going to go on a retreat with the city administrator, and they're going to create what is known as a KPI. In this case, a productive measurements that we can actually measure to make sure that we always understand where we stand and how far we've gotten and how far we got to go. And so adjustments can be made as a result of your key performance indicators. Again, you'll see just a couple of them that I highlighted in here. The day-to-day operations, again, will take all that you just saw, those different categories. And then one of the things that we're very proud of is that some of these areas are going to help us with programs that other cities have already executed. Some of the rental assistance, some of the business funding to help small businesses. These are things that we're going to do. One of the things that we're going to have, we have to do this year. Again, we're spending this year getting our house in order, making sure any federal money in particular that we distribute, we number one know who it went to, and number one make sure it's properly accounted for. For all of those of you that've got PPE loans, all those loans, I'm sure right now you've already heard from the IRS that they're asking you for accountability of all that money. And so for for those that don't know that, you'll get a notice real soon. I promise you. And so we're very excited about one of the areas that we're going to talk about. We can go to the next slide. Next slide. We're going to talk about one of the things that we learned as a result of going to this retreat. You'll see where major cities have conducted what they call park and master plans. One of the things that every city understands is that we've got property, ladies and gentlemen, in our city. If you go to Highway 74, just past Firehouse Subs, you go right in front of Ashbury Park, I can name over and over. One of the things that our planning director is going to do for us, she's going to compile, her department, along with the construction management team, is going to compile all the vacant property that the city owns And we're gonna master plan that information. We'll go to the next slide. One of the reasons we have to do this, because if you look at this slide right here, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if any of you guys have been to the city of Decatur. If you watch what the city of Decatur did in the last 12 years, it's almost unbelievable. And so what if they can do it in Decatur, we can do it here in Fairburn. And so what do? We went and got a master plan that would talk to us about using vacant land that the city already possessed or can acquire through acquisition, and actually do exactly what the city of Smyrna did. For those members of council that was here during my last term, we took the city council to the city of Smyrna, Norcross, Atworth, North Atlanta. We took the people to the different cities. And the reason why we did that, we wanted to show you the different things that were done in other cities that could be done here. That's how we got the Manor at Broad. I'm gonna bring that up again too. That's a very key mark project that was done for the reasons that I just named, but also because of some of the things that the staff is going to embark on. We're very proud of this. A lot of people don't look at parkland as a major asset to your city. Quality of life increases when you do the correct thing with parkland. Next slide. Go to the next one. Okay, and then I want to give you a good example. If you look at some of the areas in Atlanta that have actually used the master plan, and the city of Atlanta has used it over several years, along with the city of Miami. You saw some of the other. I'd name one of the most, what I deem is one of the most key mark cities in the city of Decatur. Again, what that government was able to do with their vacant land and buildings, vacant buildings, almost unheard of, because again, their position was simple. We want the people that live in their city. I've talked to that mayor, and I've talked to several council members that live there in my last term. And I went and basically asked them, tell me what did you do? And one of the things that we're not trying to do, we're not trying to recreate the wheel. We're going to people that's been there, done that, have already done it. And we're simply asking, let us take notes with our staff, and let our staff help us get there. But again, it's not an overnight success. One of the things that we understand in all this beautification, it was a plan put in place. We know it takes a while to get projects on the way. We passed a referendum in 2011. It took us until mid-2015 to get Duncan Park completely renovated. I'm not upset that it took us that long. We wanted to do it once and do it right. And that's what we're trying to do now. You'll see one of the areas that we talked about is transforming our downtown in three segments: the Hudson Plaza, GMC Campus, and Broad Street. Next slide. And you'll see, you'll see the use of private and partner relationships that can help us upgrade and renovate our downtown area. We know private and public partnership works. That's what we did at the Manor at Broad. We know it works. And so again, the city is not trying to acquire all the debt. We're trying to come into partnership with major organizations that will help us bring our downtown and attract a quality of life and economic development that other areas can only dream of. Hudson Plaza, as you mentioned on that, this is a conceptual site plan. When we talked about what we're gonna do in our downtown area, we have to give the council, we have to discuss what is known as conceptual site plan. What can it possibly look like? And so we embarked upon a professional consultant agency that helped us put this together, along with our staff, that helped us what we call see the future before it manifests. And again, one of the things that I'm a firm believer, most of us in here, if you can't see it, you can't achieve it. It's just that simple. That's anything in life. And so one of the things that we, the city council and myself, came together with our staff, and we wanted to talk realistically. We had to see this before we can actually achieve it. My goal for coming here sharing it with you now is strictly to let you know that your council is not wasting your time just talking about whistles, you know, things that don't matter. We're talking about results. As we, on top of our day-to-day our requirements of what we're required to do as a government, we also are talking about things that we need to do as a government
that will make a mark in this city that we talked about for decades. One of the next slides. You'll see in this case, the education campus, one of the things we talked about. We look to the very far right of the screen, we talked about, in this case, some of the land acquisition. There are some of the properties in our city that we realize are for sale. And some of the things that we want to do, again, with our staff, we want to embark on these people actually acquiring some of this vacant property that we don't own, and our help us again go to the next slide, and our help us to give up with some of the site plan that will be realistic, and we again set a vision. You have to have a vision for what you're trying to do in this day. One of the things, as I've talked to several mayors, and I've talked to several mayors of Wakefield, the city of Augusta, Mayor Carter, and some of the other mayors that are all about growing, one of the things they told me, Mayor, make sure that your staff and you and your city council have a plan for what you're trying to do. So you may not even be able to achieve a 50%. He said, but you'll never get there by accident. You have to have a plan.
That's right.
The next slide. And then but one of the other third areas, this area behind Landmark, right behind Michael Fisher, the city, that lot that you see identified there, the city owns about 50% of that land. And so one of the things that we're talking about is that we're going to talk to these landowners about, again, acquiring land acquisition. If anybody knows anything about land acquisition, government, that's not normally a quick process. That's why I've been realistic with you as it relates to it. It's going to take a process. But we believe right now, if we don't start making a mark, and I'm talking about a staff coming in with plans, performance measures, and based on this case, step-by-step goals and objectives, we're going to get left behind. The cities around us are growing. I know. I've spent a lot of time since I've been mayor looking at what other cities are doing. I'm not competing with them. What I'm trying to make sure that happens is that everybody around us outgrows us, and we're now getting everybody, all the businesses, we're getting all the apartments, we're getting everything, all the housing units that nobody wants. And so then, and so that's why we have to, that's why this retreat was one of the most successful things that I think we've ever had, because again, one of the things that I'm very proud of, again, ladies and gentlemen, this vision, this document was compiled by staff, but it contains over 60% of what the members of your council already wanted. And that, we found that out through an exercise that GMA, I want to thank publicly GMA for the outstanding job they did with doing that retreat. Next slide. You'll see one of that area I just showed you. You'll look to the right is projected housing. These are again conceptual site pictures of what we want to see Barry become. Okay? It's just that simple, ladies and gentlemen. And again, we're not with anywhere. One of the things we're trying to do, one of the things I've talked to, also if you ride around the metro area, I don't know if you go over, I went over to the city of College Park this past weekend. If you go on Berkeley Avenue, I used to live there years and years ago, one of the areas over there where T Meadows live, you'll see where they're not abandoned, they're not taking abandoned property and breaking down that. They're renovating. They want to maintain some of that culture, the culture that was established there. And so that's a mixed combination that we're trying to make sure. And again, my goal is, again, I want a residence, a special residence that's been living here 30, 40, 50 years. I want you to be able to witness the transformation in your city. One of the things that we're, the next slide in this case, the comp plan. The comp plan is upgraded every 5 years. They just had an upgrade in 2021 that allowed you to yield major stores, mixed use, and housing. Go to the next slide. And you'll see some of the criteria that was considered during that last review. It's going to help us. One of the things that I heard loud when I was campaigning, and I heard it loud from other members of council, we want a grocery store here. We want a store that people can be proud of. I don't remember anybody getting up saying, in Tyrone, I think I'm going to go and drive down the store and go to Circle K. That's wrong, Circle K, man. Nobody goes to another city just to go there. And so we're trying to put people and put vehicles in place that will help us at least market what we have in terms of vacant lands and land that we want to acquire. We want to talk about, again, as we talked about, mixed use. People that actually live in the downtown area, that's one of the things you saw that was further on the further end of Highway 29, right there at the corner of 138 and 29. We're trying to, right, again, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to prepare for the future. The future's coming. The question is, will we be ready for it? And the last part, again, this again, as we pass, zoning, planning and zoning department continues to look at the different areas in our city that we have to modify or have to make sure they're tight. We're still making modifications to our zoning code. As you heard earlier in January, February, our city attorney's office spent countless hours right now trying to make sure our zoning codes And so we're simply, again, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's a fraction of what we should talk about in 11 hours. It was 11 hours of productivity. Again, I thought it was important to share that because one of the things I've realized in public office, you can get so caught up in the humdrum that you totally forget, especially elected by, you forget why you're here. Our goal is, and the question we're trying to make sure we ask when every elected member here terms expire, the question is, was the city better when we left than it was when we left? And so, with that being said, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. At this point, we have our first agenda item. Mr. City Administrator, if you want.
No.
Yes, sir.
The first item is the agreement between Trees Unlimited and the City of Fairburn. Staff is.
Listen.
For.
I was going to go ahead. I was going to let him give a kind of a foresight at the end, but you read it.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
Good evening.
On the agenda tonight, the utility department, specifically the electric division, is seeking approval of an agreement for Trees Unlimited to trim and clear tree limbs, trees, and vegetation from around the overhead circuits leading from the two major substations. The maps that are in your packets shows the power coverage of the two substations, FO862 and FO872, which are located at Highway 29 Northwest Broad Street. These substations encompass the areas that are heavily impacted when there are bad storms, squirrels, etc., and are the main culprits of the major power outages in the city. We anticipate the areas that you see will consist of 3 months and 3 days of tree trimming service. Trees Unlimited was awarded the 2022 to 2024 recommendation for electric right-of-way clearing and maintenance services by the Electric Cities of Georgia, whom the City of Fairburn is a member. Staff recommends that City Council approve the agreement for the trimming and clearing of tree limbs and vegetation from around overhead circuits, exiting substation number 2 to Trees Unlimited, and authorize the mayor to sign an agreement for the amount not to exceed $69,600. Please honor this request for approval. Are there any questions?
I'm going to bring the item to the floor. Member of the council, you have before you the mayor and council approve a trimming and clearing of tree limb vegetation from around the overhead circuits exists exiting substation number 2 and approve the agreement with Trees Unlimited in the amount not to exceed $69,640. The locations of substation 2, FO862, and FO872, Highway 29, North Broad Street. Is there a motion?
So moved.
A motion is made. Is there a second?
Second. Councilman Davis.
Made a second. Any comments or questions?
Was that Councilman Davis? Councilman Davis made the motion.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Thank you.
I made the motion.
Then,
Councilman Heath made the second.
Okay. Is there any questions?
Yes, I have one. Could you just give us an idea of how important this is for the city by giving us maybe a percentage of what percentage of the outages are due to fallen trees, limbs, vegetations that you have to go and take care of?
About 85%.
Yeah.
A lot of them are, you wouldn't imagine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I have a question. Thank you for bringing this forward. It is necessary that we have the trees trimmed around the electrical wires. My question to you is, when is the last time this has been done? Are we on a schedule for trimming? Was this past year, 2 years, unusual? Because we suffered a lot of outages this past couple of years. So my question is about the schedule for tree trimming.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the schedule is an annual schedule. The last year, we covered quite a bit of ground. We did some key areas. Now it's time to really pick up this year. And we try to keep it on an annual so we can make a total rotation around the city. And that should keep things on track. Previously, before we did last year, it hadn't been done in 3 years.
Wow. Okay. So you said you had done some last year?
Yes.
Okay, and were those targeted areas, or did you do the entire area as proposed here?
Okay. Well, no, we didn't do this particular area because there are four FO 872, 862. These are regulators that go out through certain circuits like a vine throughout the city. And what we do is pick each one and create that area so we know that's clear. And then we did two of them last year, so we're doing these two this year.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And then I would also just like to encourage the city administrator to develop a tree trimming plan for the rest of the city. There's a lot of pockets where trees have overgrown, and specifically I'm targeting some of our businesses that the trees need trimming. So if there's any opportunity to piggyback with this vendor or however way you need to do that, if you'll elevate that, I'd appreciate it. And thank you so much, Mr. Martin.
Mrs. Smoker.
Yes, and I don't know if it absolutely is here, but I wanted to bring up the point about the trees, because not just trimming, but I've come to be aware, because it's affected me, that we have a pine beetle infestation in the area where I didn't know what it was, but when you see the trees with total bark just off of it, and we got a lot of them around the city, so I would just also suggest not just with the trimming schedule, but really, and I know it's kind of probably a really big job because I didn't even know how big it was, but that's what's caused the trees to be destabilized, drought, didn't rain, but also these pine beetles. I had some, city had to come out actually to my, I'll just be transparent, because I had like six or seven dead ones that were about to encroach, and we got tons of them around the city. You brought mentioned to one a couple years ago at Dunham Park, mm-hmm. You know, and that's what it is, this pine beetle infestation. So I would just say we have to really be proactive on this, and I know it might be a big kind of big ticket, but with all the trees around, that is something that we're dealing with. And the guy that came out showed me what was going on. When you see all the holes in the trees and that bark stripped, that's a pine beetle infestation that just comes and ravishes a whole area. So not only maybe looking at what we got to take down, but how do we deal with those pine beetles as well?
Mm-hmm. Councilman Sullivan, thank you for that. And to your point, and also Mayor Pro Tem, it is something that we are looking at for the FY23 proposed budget.
Okay.
To your point, Councilman Smallwood, it can be costly.
Yes.
We have a lot of city-owned property. If you just take Duncan Proper alone, hazards that come from those pine beetle infestations, those trees are essentially dead.
They're dead.
And mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of city-owned property and right away where we got that challenge, as well as just aged trees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at that as well as trimming on a schedule so that we can shape that up as part of our FY23 budget proposal. The pine beetle infestation has become a real issue statewide.
Yeah.
And so having dealt with that previously in some of my previous positions, it is a real challenge, and we're gonna have to figure out what we can do to kind of mitigate that. Mm-hmm. But we do have a lot of trees that we're gonna have to address in the next budget.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I didn't understand, like they told me the maple was actually like the blood of the tree. And when that thing is stripped, there's no more blood coming out of that tree. It's dry, it's dead. So any little wind is gonna topple it over. So we're dealing with something that's kind of big here. So I just want to be proactive of it, because you see our area, we still are under this canopy. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Question, Mayor.
Hold on 1 second. Mm-hmm. Can I come back to ask Ms. Davis and Mr. Whitmore?
No, not me. I'm cool.
Mr. Whitmore, and then I'll come back to you, Mr.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Thank you for this. But my question is more directly to, we have areas where we have other electrical companies that are responsible for lines that has caused problems, and whereas we had limbs that brought down some electrical wires where we had some failures, okay? But it's on the homeowner's property. How are we addressing that? Because whenever we have these failures, we send our crews out there, they're taking care of everything, we're paying the bill, when we should have something preventative where the homeowners have a stake and responsibility as well.
And I agree with that. What we've done is, in most of those emergencies, we have notified the customer that they had the residents that they had been on their property. You know, most of them doing bad storms, even though the first layer of the tree trimming, which is the right of way that we're doing 15 feet on this side, 15 feet here. And some of them that are coming, they're 45 feet and above, and they lean right on over and come and tear the lines down, even if we trim on them. But only these particular cases, only we're able to identify them as during the storm, and then we inform the residents that, yes, you know, you have a tree, and we leave it according to the property line. We cut our section out of the right way. But we've identified and brought it to a point to, you know, various incidences and situations that we deal with to maybe code and some of the others to notify people that, yes, they need to take care of this situation. Yeah.
So I guess more directly, the question would come before you, sir. What do we have in our ordinances that will cover that, address it, and fix it? Because if you're notifying them and they're not doing anything, and we have the storms and we have the failure, we are still expending taxpayers' money, and yet and still they're not accepting responsibility.
Very good question, Council, a little bit more. And I do think your question begs an answer as it relates to a policy consideration. I want to consult with the city attorney between now and the next council meeting to see from a legal perspective what leverage does the city have to address that specific concern. And it may very well be a policy recommendation that we'll bring back before council to approve so that we have a consistent way of dealing with that circumstance. And then after there's an approval from council, it will be a matter of educating the residents, yes, as to what their responsibility is pursuant to that policy. It's our general approach to that is to try to do it from a policy perspective, but of course we want to make sure that we have a legal grounding to do so. Mm-hmm. Then we can bring something to council for consideration.
Actually, Ms. Jones.
A very good question, Councilman Whitmore. That is an issue, and I liken that issue with the issue with water main leaks. Right, and the lines, what responsibility the city has, and what's responsibility of the homeowner. The same issue, and the fact that they need to be educated, one, that they are responsible for those that are on their property, and two, that we have an ongoing maintenance schedule regarding that. And so, leading to that, I believe in our charter, we are required to have an arborist, if I'm not correct, or a landscape architect, or some arborist, I think is what mm-hmm. it is. Arborist, yes. Person who mm-hmm. is as expert in trees.
In tree, yeah.
Trees are very important to this community. Mm-hmm. Tree canopy, I don't want to bring up the bad word about climate change, but you know, tree canopy is very, very important. But maintaining and taking care of diseased trees are equally important. Yeah. So that means we need somebody to be on top of that. And mm-hmm. so if that's an expertise that we need, please take a look at that and bring that back to council so that we have someone that can help us address that issue.
Thank you for that suggestion. It is something that we intend to look at in terms of it is a definite need to your point, Mayor Pro Tem. We consulted with an outside arborist because we currently do not have one on staff last week because we were concerned about the trees at Duncan Park. Mm-hmm. A number of dead trees there were going into summertime, the park's peak season. So we wanted to at least get some immediate consultation and voice of that. But to your point, it's an ongoing need that the city charter says we need to fill. And so we will come back to council through the budget to propose how we should handle that as a standing opportunity for the city.
All right, and while we're talking about trees, for future discussion, to revisit our tree ordinance, I believe it needs, it's pretty good, and it was based on Atlanta, which they have undergone a substantial review as well, and I think we need to also. So I'll add that to your list for future discussion. Thank you, Mayor.
And so I would just say, too, because a tree responsibility is not a small responsibility. So if we do look at a policy thing that would be levied on a resident, what type of things are out there? Since this is a big pine beetle type infestation, does the government have, the state or the feds have, that cover these type of things to help the resident if then that responsibility falls on them? To, okay, well, the city's not gonna take care of that. You need to take care of that, but like I said, that's not a cheap thing, bringing a tree down. So just trying to look at everything, because at the end of the day, we want, of course, we wanna be,
engage Department of Natural Resources.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does any of the member council have a question or comment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Next item.
The next item is the purchase of 1K CX57C mini excavator from Border Equipment, and this is from John.
You want to go ahead, sir?
The Utilities Department, specifically the Water and Sewer Division, is seeking approval from Mayor and Council to purchase from Border Equipment a 2022K CX57C mini excavator. The purchase of this equipment will replace the old rubber tire backhoe, as you see in your packets in Exhibit A. It is a 1997 John Deere backhoe, and due to the current position, is deemed unsafe. Repairs have been costly, and parts are getting difficult to acquire. The new mini excavator is from a selected government contract vendor and has a huge government discount associated with this particular contract. This equipment is versatile to allow the operator to work in tight spaces, especially spaces a backhoe cannot accommodate. Staff recommends that the Mayor and Council approve the purchase of 1K CX57C mini excavator for the amount of $64,370 and authorize the City Administrator to sign a proposal for the City of Bath. Are there any questions?
And let me bring it to the floor. Members of Council, you have before you a purchase of a 2022 case CX57C mini excavator with a 2-year/3,000-hour full machinery warranty for water and sewer from Board Equipment in the amount of $64,370. Is there a motion?
So moved.
A motion made by Mr. Whitmore. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Heath.
Second been made. Is there any questions or concerns? Go ahead, Mr. Whitmore.
One question. Sir, I know due to the pandemic, there has been a delay with any new equipment. Is there a delay with this equipment being immediately available for purchase, or is it a year, 2-year wait?
No. As a matter of fact, we checked in recently. The earliest time is July the 1st.
Outstanding. Thank you, sir.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Next item is approval of task order number 12 with Atlas Technical Consultants for Construction Engineering and Inspection Services.
Go ahead, Mr. Thompson.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening. Good evening. Staff recommends
Members of council, you have before you approval of task order number 12 with Atlas Technical Consultant for Construction Engineer and Inspection Services. Is there a motion?
So move, Councilman Smallwood.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Powell.
Motion's been made and properly second. Are there any questions or concerns?
I have a question.
Mr. E.
Yes, can you give me an idea of how much money we have in our T-Splash fund to resurface roads? Yes. Okay, thank you. $8 million. Okay, thank you.
Is there any other questions, Council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Next item.
The next item is a budget amendment to establish a procurement manager position in the finance department.
Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening.
With a request to establish a procurement manager position. This position will report to the finance director and handle all procurement duties. We believe that this position is crucial as the city of Fairburn continues to grow. Due to the city not having an established procurement manager position, procurement data is currently not centralized. By establishing this position, it will streamline the procurement process and establish a more efficient means of creating RFPs, RFQs, and allow collaboration with the city departments to source and make recommendations for materials, equipment, supplies, and services. Staff provides this recommendation to Mayor and Council for approval.
Members of Council, you have before you that the city of Fairburn is at work on this current procurement operation, so there's a need for it to centralize this function. You have before you the procurement manager position will effectively oversee. You have before you establish a procurement manager position in the finance department. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilman Smallwood.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Davis. Any questions or concerns by council?
Yes, one question.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Could you talk a little bit about the support that this individual will have? Is there administrative support? Because there's a lot of processing of paper and doing various tasks and, you know, identifying vendors, et cetera, et cetera.
So currently, right now, the department heads and their administrative assistants are doing the RFPs, RFQs. So when the procurement manager comes aboard, it will be a team effort with the department heads as well. So all the administrative assistants that are currently in the work will continue to help the procurement manager.
Okay, thank you.
In addition, Mayor Pro Tem, that is another FY23 consideration. To the earlier point that our director of finance made, we've outgrown our current procurement resources. This position is a huge step in the right direction, but I don't see this at the end of the process. There'll need to be some administrative support to your question to ongoing make sure that we're handling all of our procurement activities. T-Splash, which we just discussed alone, to date, I think is ballpark $1.7 million. And so that alone, and that doesn't even speak to all the other procurement needs we need. So we intend to address that through the budget.
Thank you.
Any other questions by council? I just want to mention, as a person that's in this profession, this position is actually so critical in our government. With the need right now, with so much federal money, you heard me jokingly mention earlier about business owners that receive PPE. Basically, what happens now for all those governments that have received the ARPA money, any type of federal funding that's been distributed in the last 2 years, what's happening, as many of you know, I'm the compliance administrator of Fulton County government. My purchasing department literally got hit yesterday with another audit request because they're auditing all the money that Fulton County has distributed, which in this case, actually, the money they distributed to the other governments, and plus the governments in our city as well, has already signed a document, legal document, saying you'll hold harmless the county for any misuse of federal money. But this purchasing department all but basically ensures that with the volume, especially in this case where Moreland Altavelli and Atlas, the volume of money that's been brought in, and again, there's no knock on the city staff, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but between trying to actually do your job and keep up with the procurement requirements per state law, especially in this case federal money, which can get you in a lot of trouble,
it's almost impossible for these men and women that are on our staff to keep up. I don't know how they've done it the last 3 or 4 years, been able to do their job and actually keep up with the proper reporting that's required. It's not an option, it's required. We just reported, what, April 30th?
Yes, sir.
This government just did a report last 2 weeks ago. So
early.
This procurement position is actually, in this case, is actually gonna save not just us, other governments in this case, from major, major punitive action. Let me just say this too publicly, as a person that's in the profession, the Department of Treasury and IRS hasn't made any secrets. I guess maybe because for those of you who don't know, my wife is in the financial services industry. They've alerted all her clients and all her business clients that you need to have your books in order because the IRS is coming to audit you. They made that real clear, and then the Department of Treasury made it clear to the governments, i.e. Fulton County government yesterday. We're gonna audit every inch, every dime that's been distributed. And so that's why, again, you see me, and I know it sounds like I'm harping on this, ladies and gentlemen, you do not wanna be, it was public, so I can say, you don't wanna end up where the city of Atlanta was in 1997, I believe it was, where the feds would make no secret. They were gonna take multi-million dollars from that government because of improper reporting. And it wasn't that the people weren't qualified, it's just the volume that went to the airport. Billions of dollars. So I just need to make sure that we're just simply clear about the imperativeness of this position. So again, I think our finance director, who's never made it no secret as it relates to every dime that's going to be spent from this government. So with that being said, does any other member of council have any questions?
No.
If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
At this time, I'll start with council comments. Mr. Whitmore, we'll let you start, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, I'll tell you, it's a pleasure to be back in council again and seeing some additional upgrades. I think there was something that has been needed for some time. I believe it was about 6 years ago when I brought up streaming, and we're finally at that point. So the upgrades is very appreciated, and I think it's going to add another touch of class, showing that the city of Fairburn is situated to succeed as we continue to move forward. And also, I'd just like to take special note of recognizing that the city of Fairburn has made it to the top 10 list of the safest cities in Georgia. We're number 10. When that information was sent to me, I couldn't wait to send it to Mayor and my colleagues. I think that it's a well-deserved accolade, and we just want to continue going down that path and continue to make sure that people don't start coming in from other cities. I won't mention other cities. I'll just say that we just want to keep things safe in our own city. I want them to know that if they come to this city, it's not going to be tolerated, and they need to go elsewhere. So it's a very good accolade. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, okay. I just want to say it is so nice to be back in person. It's a major difference having a council meeting in your kitchen than having it in City Hall. It's just nice to see everyone here, see your faces. There's just energy that comes from when you're talking and discussing city business, and your citizens are sitting right out there looking at you. And I just want to really thank our staff and Mr. Phillips and for your leadership in getting City Hall up to the 22nd century, it seems. So we see what you've done, the hard work that you're doing, and we certainly appreciate it. Thank you.
It's just good to be back. I mean, it's like you said, it's different doing a meeting in your kitchen or your bedroom or wherever, but it's good to be back. I'm happy to be here, and I love the new staff. I mean, I just want to applaud them as well as all of our department heads for the great job that they do. Also, being a top 10 safe city, I feel good. I always said coming to Fairburn, and let's just keep being situated to succeed. That's it for me. I love y'all.
Mr. Pella?
Well,
I hardly ever make a comment, but I will. Everyone's got to be someplace, and here we are. And what's good about that, and the mayor went through the results of that retreat, we are headed in the right direction, and we will get there. And so stick around, because it's going to get more interesting with each passing day.
Thank you. Mr. E?
Yes. I didn't know if it was, I left my deodorant off or whatever, but he skipped me there. But anyway. But at any rate, I'm very delighted to be back where we are actually seeing faces. You know, being on the Zooms was great. Technology is great. But it's like when you're in person, you're able to see more about a person's face, the way that they accept things, and being in your presence is just a great thing. And not to say that our staff is just tremendous. Mr. Phillips is out of sight. And so, like I say, this has just really been a pleasant experience tonight. Also, like Mr. Palin said, just stay tuned. There, you're going to see a lot of great things taking place here in Fairburn. When we went in our planning in area there this a few weeks back, a lot of great ideas, a lot of things that we had talked about and everything, but in previous years had not really been, you know, speaking of those. But now the opportunity is there, and we're going to take full advantage of it. Also, I've been working on a project out on 74 and I-85 to put to begin with, it was a full cloverleaf, and now it's down to a half. So I figure I'll fight for the other half in the next few years. But the thing of it is, I want to see 74 highway traffic in a manageable position. Traffic backs all the way up almost to 138 in the afternoons. Highway has all three lanes blocked, and our police officers are out there working traffic accidents left and right. And I want to see all of that change. And likewise, we have things in store that are coming through the city that are in the talks. So just be standing by. You're going to be excited about those. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Ms.
Eve,
and
Mayor Pro Tem. Thank you, Mayor. I also want to echo the changes that have occurred here in City Hall among the staff under your leadership, Mr. Phillips. Mm-hmm. It's the small things that make a difference. I'm very impressed with the lineup in the back of the room. All of the department heads, we appreciate you. And not only are they lined up in the back, but they all have name tags. I'm very impressed. I noticed. So yes. Thank you so much for that. Awesome. And also thank you for the outstanding retreat that mm-hmm. Mayor and Council had. As the mayor presented, it was a wealth of information that provided us food for thought, and it echoed many of the things that we were thinking about already, but it put it in a plan and provided the cohesiveness that we needed. Yes. So thank you, and thank you, Ms. Griss, as well, and all of the staff mm-hmm. For your hard work on that. And I'm looking forward to implementing the things that came out of that. I want to congratulate again the Southside Theater, who is a recipient, again, for the second time, of the Fox Theater Foundation grant recipient. They had a big check award ceremony, I think that's what I call it. Mm-hmm. And my colleague, Councilwoman Davis was there as well. And it was exciting to see the support that the theater was receiving from the Fox Theater Institute, who one of their mission is to put money into the historic theaters that are all over the state. And that means that we too have to step up to do that, because that is an economic engine right here in our backyard. And so there's a lot more that we can do to assist them in that effort. And they also received a huge grant from South Face, which is an environmental organization, because they were raising the funds for to replace their HVAC, HVAC. So South Face awarded them because they want to assist them in becoming a green building, another endeavor that we need to do here in the city of Fairburn. And then lastly, just wanted to, if you have not voted, please do vote. Early voting is going on right now. And also to say that we have new candidates that are running for Fulton County Commission for District 6, which represents us. So please do your due diligence, learn about these candidates, because they will be representing us. And speaking of which, the South Metro Democratic Women's Council is hosting a forum as we speak of those candidates for the Fulton County Commission seat. So please, you can look at the forum out on Facebook or YouTube. Just Google them, South Metro Democratic Women's Council. Again, so happy to see all of you. Thank you for your attendance. Look forward to seeing you on a regular basis. And thank you so much, Mayor.
Thank you. My final remarks, you'll please be on the lookout, as we're not going to announce it yet because we've got some details to fix it. But as one of the things I left out of that presentation that I wanted to make sure it understood, as we try to implement things, we've got a staffing problem. I mean, and not just Fairburn, but we're competing with everyone else. I want to say we lost 5 police officers since January. We picked up 8, lost 5. We're right now, you'll see some information coming up real soon. And one of the most proud departments that I make it no secret was my bread and butter last time was the street department. We're going to be looking for people that want to keep our city looking beautiful. And mm-hmm. it's a job, it's a position that's overlooked a lot, but it's no different than a fire department. Nobody cares about a fire truck unless their house on fire. So in this case, we're going to be looking for critical positions because our staffing in multiple areas of our city is actually down, and we've got to bring them up as we try to execute what you just saw. Just want again, you heard my statement about retreat. I think that was again another effort I want to thank the city administrator and the staff as they bring our employees together. I want to thank GMA again and the city administrator with the retreat that's helping bring our council together. And again, we may not always agree, but again, I think what you just saw, 60%, and you only saw a fraction of it. We believe in that the future of this city is great. I wanted to mention, too, yet we sit here in an open meeting with COVID technically still on the rise. I just want to know, I'm praying that we don't have to go back to to people meeting us
in the kitchen.
But I just want you to know that that's a protocol I have to be aware of constantly. Every week I ask the city manager where we're looking at mm-hmm. as it relates to COVID. So again, I just want to let you know that we're definitely want to just again find and close it. Just again, I want to thank some of the people that just some of the new people, HR director sitting in back corner, raise your hand so the people see. And then again, I don't think many of the people I met, assistant city administrator, and then the young lady that works for our city attorney that's actually serving as the assistant city attorney, Ms. Noel,
yes.
And make sure they mention about it. So again, we're so happy right now with the men and women that we're hiring professionals. And again, mm-hmm. with that being said, we do not have an executive session, so can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Ms. Jones,
they get.
You probably won't see me in here.
You just made the motion. You mentioned my name.